keep telling you what you need to know on News Radio 930 WFMD.
NCO Morning News Express 611 at WFMD in the studio, as he is. You know, I gotta start writing these down. For whatever reason, I always think the third Tuesday and not the fourth Tuesday.
So when I show up, I'm surprising you.
I knew that when I had all your questions written last week. I sure hope nothing's happened in a week.
Well, we'll correct you if you did.
So, you know, that's fine. I'm glad that you're here.
So you're very disappointed then when the third Tuesday comes and goes and I'm not here.
It's because I going to talk about?
Why did the mayor stand me up?
No, I just realized it's my own stupidity and I should put it on my calendar and I appreciate it.
Oh.
I almost sent you a message saying, hey, you are coming this week, right? Yeah. So, and
today.
You brought coffee.
I'm coming today.
And
yes.
Donut holes. Thank you so much because I'm, well, never mind. So how's the mayor? I saw you got a flu shot.
I did.
Yeah. Is that okay? I mean, now, you know, you encourage people to get the flu shot.
I do. I bled more than people usually do for flu shots. Usually people don't bleed for flu shots, but I was wearing a collared shirt, and as I tried to roll it up, apparently I created a tourniquet at the top of my arm, and
nice.
That was problematic when the needle came out, so...
Okay.
Other than that, it was it was uneventful.
You're not squeamish or anything like that?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
That's a good thing. So, I mean, I guess one of my good question is that if there's a COVID vaccine that comes out, are you going to take that as well, encourage people to take it?
I will encourage people to take it, assuming that it comes through all of the right processes and protocols.
Yeah. I'm a little worried about that. I mean, I know that we've got the biggest and the best minds and companies working on it, but normally it would take a lot longer for that process to go, even though people are working very hard.
Well, and it's the thing about this that's always I've approached with a sort of an air of caution to it is that a vaccine is not guaranteed. And
right.
Certainly a vaccine that is permanently beneficial is not guaranteed. So what we don't know is, will a vaccine work for a year? Will it work for 6 months? What's the long-term efficacy? And I you know, we are moving quickly with necessity. And
well, you remember a couple of years ago when the flu vaccine came out and they realized that they made all the doses for the wrong strain.
Well, that's the guesswork that goes
right.
into that every year. There's
right.
You know, science applied to what strain they might think is going to be the most affecting, and if they don't guess correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with the mayor of the city, Frederick Mayor Michael O'Connor. So there has been some changes. I mean, well, let me kind of go back here. I want to stick on COVID for just a bit. Is the mayor's office up and running normally? Are we getting people back into the office? Are we still working from home a lot more? And have we had any, without divulging names, have we had a COVID outbreak in the mayor's office or in the city of Frederick?
So I would say the mayor's office never stopped functioning normally. We were probably one of the operations where I was regular seeing my team in there. City Hall, because of our ability to create remote work opportunities for many of our employees and other departments, particularly ones that don't work in the field, the ones that are more office-based, we were able to set up a remote. And so that's continuing. We're working on additional modifications to our buildings, touchless bathrooms and other kinds of things that can create a higher level of touch safety inside the buildings to reopen them to public and getting the workforce back. We've left a lot of the flexibility of that within the hands of the supervisors and the managers where we can do the work in a more flexible environment. We're continuing to do that. Obviously, we can't, you know, pick up the trash or police downtown Frederick or do code enforcement and other kinds of things from the comfort of one's home. So there's different levels of risk. The city of Frederick employees have done a fantastic job in terms of taking health and safety precautions seriously for themselves, their family, and their coworkers. We've had 7. Positive COVID tests in the city of Frederick amongst our 600 plus full and part-time employees. And so we think that's a really outstanding demonstration of commitment to health and safety.
We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. You got a question for him? 301-694-9363. You can call or text us your question on WFMD.
930 WFMD. Sports update on Free Talk 930 WFMD. Online, on our app, on HD radios and Alexa.
Okay.
You're always on 930 WFMD.
621 on this Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. The mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, is in the studio this morning. And a couple things. Let's go. I know we have talked about it in the past, and we'll talk about it now. The Frederick City Police, you're still looking for a new police chief. And that search, how is that search going? And you know, we formed a committee, so I'll kind of take us where we are in that process, because I kind of was taken aback by, and I don't think we have talked since then, that it was announced that you were forming it, that the formal committee, that you were doing the search, and I always thought that that had taken place a long time ago. So I was a little, I was like, wow, all of a sudden it happens, but shouldn't it have happened a long time ago?
We talked about this a little bit. I mean, obviously, the pandemic has created timeline issues in a number of different areas as we focused our attention where we needed to. We were very ably led by Pat Grossman as the acting chief. We now have Dwight Summers in that position, and equally comfortable and confident with his ability to carry that out. We have the application deadline is closed, so we got about 36 applicants for the position. The search committee right now is looking for the results of a survey that we've put out. People can go to the city's website and get a link to that. There are paper copies available for people who need those as well at City Hall to try and get an assessment broadly from the community about the qualifications, personality traits, other kinds of things that are highly desired in a chief. Once those results are in, working with the IACP, there'll be some evaluation of the candidates. The search committee is going to try and take that 36 and, you know, squeeze it down to a more manageable number to conduct interviews. And then there'll be a final selection committee that'll involve me and some senior staff at the city to do a final evaluation. There'll be an opportunity at some point later in the process for finalist candidates to meet with community stakeholders to just see how they work the room and communicate with folks. So
what is IACP?
IACP is the International Association of the Chiefs of Police. They're a police executive search organization. So they're assisting us in the candidate evaluation piece. There's a lot of qualifications, criteria, backgrounds, and certifications that police officers can get. They're the experts in which ones of those have value, particularly when we identify the things that are important in a new police chief. They'll be able to help us to determine which candidates really meet the highest credentials that we're trying to capture.
Pat Grossman, who had filled in numerous times when somebody would leave, retired, was he never in consideration? Was that something that you just didn't look at?
No, he was absolutely. He certainly could have applied for the position had he wanted to.
Did you have a conversation with him encouraging him to or not?
I haven't had conversations with anyone to encourage them. People making a decision about whether or not they want to apply for a job is up to them. Certainly everyone has known the position was available, and but generally police officers don't need to be encouraged to apply for positions that they may at some point want.
There are people who say that you have a particular profile type of person that you want.
And an outstanding police chief.
Well, I've heard that you want an African-American female.
We want an outstanding police chief.
Whoever that is.
We want an outstanding police chief for the city of Frederick and our residents.
If you had, I mean, would you lean towards somebody of a minority if you could? If there were two candidates who were equally qualified, you and I were equally qualified candidates. You know, you're black, I'm white, you're female, I'm not, whatever, or vice versa, however you want to do that. Would you lean towards one or the other?
You're asking a question that feels like a bit of a trap, and I know that's not really not what's intended, but I mean, there's always determining and differentiating factors. There's no such thing as candidates who are equally weighted, and we'll determine what are the factors that are most important to the community. And we're going to pick an outstanding police chief based on the qualifications and the criteria that our community wants. That could be a person of any race, gender, creed, color.
Okay. It's the mayor of the city. Freddie, you got a question for him. 301-694-WFMD. Police hazard pay was something that came up, I guess, a week or two ago, and that you were asking for police hazard pay, and I think it's like $2.50 an hour. So I guess my first question is, are all the police in Frederick paid by the hour, or is it just that is something that you're asking additional to maybe somebody who's gets a salary?
Right. I mean, everyone in the city of Frederick, whether they're a salaried or hourly employee, whether they're exempt or non-exempt, fills out a pay piece. So it's really just a way of tracking hours and those kinds of things. If a police officer, a standard work week of 40 hours or whatever, then it would be an additional $2.50 per hour. It is hazard pay that's also available to our non-sworn employees in the city of Frederick. So this is pay that's authorized and possible under the Coronavirus Relief Act. And so what differentiates what I can do, what the board can do simply with the non-sworn, is that with our police officers, the members of the FOP, we need to get an MOU with them in terms of their contract to allow for these sorts of things. But all employees who meet the criteria in the city of Frederick for hazard pay are eligible to receive it.
And who determines the hazard that they are facing?
So the guidance that comes through the Coronavirus Relief Act talks about employees who are in front-facing, public-facing positions who might have a likelihood of interacting with people, places, or things where coronavirus is possible. So it could be police officers who are face-to-face with anyone they may come in contact with. It could be public works employees who are working in, you know, our wastewater treatment facilities, where we know through the science that coronavirus can be present in the wastewater process. It could be code enforcement officers that encounter people, parking attendants. I mean, it could be it's function specific. So an employee who's sitting at a desk in an office, not likely to working in an environment where they would be eligible for hazard pay. But an employee who's out on the street, who's doing something where they're going to be interacting with the public or with others or in buildings or places where coronavirus might be present, would be eligible.
We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, coming up on the Morning News Express.
930 WFMD traffic for Frederick.
News Express on 930 WFMD.
It's the Morning News Express, 634 at WFMD, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. We are talking with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. We do have a caller. Vincent is on the phone. Vincent, good morning. You're on with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor.
Well, good morning to both of you. I have been an outspoken critic of the mayor, but I've also complimented the mayor. My comment today is this. It took a while for the mayor to explain the selection process for the pending police chief. And, two things come into play that the mayor has actually has had previous outspoken discussions about. One has to do with his criticism or how he has been outspoken about law enforcement in the county level and the county leadership level with Sheriff Jenkins. And second is, among many of the documents and the many meetings that the mayor's had over several years, a couple things have entered into those discussions. One, most recently, this whole discussion with Black Lives Matter and what they stand for and how that influences both the board and the mayor. The second has to do with critical race theory and how they're injecting at the human resource level, really some very biased ways of selecting people for city positions. Third has to do with this, what's been debunked as unconscious bias. And, when you look at the past of what the mayor has talked about and out loud, I would say this, and you kind of put him on the spot, and he admitted that. When you select someone for a position, you select them based on their experience, what they can bring, And there's one positive thing coming out of this, and I think that is the mayor saying that there's going to be some type of community input, you know, some kind of selection criteria. But what I would also advocate for is to remove, you know, any discussion with critical race theory, this unconscious bias BS. I would make sure that BLM is not at the table because of what they stand for, and mainly because they're really an illegitimate organization.
Well, I got to cut you off, Vincent. I appreciate your call, because I got to cut you off because we're almost out of time for this segment. And let me ask: was it just a statement, or do you have a question to the mayor regarding that? Your statements. I think he might be gone. Okay, that's okay. I can't. Do you have somebody on your? I know you have a committee that you were studying for chief of police, and I did. We did talk about the fact that some of them did not live in the city of Frederick, but you felt that they were wise counsel for you or the committee.
Yeah, I didn't check residency of the individuals that they selected. What we looked for were people who met certain contact points in the community. So people who are connected with the religious community, people who are connected with the nonprofit community, people who are connected with the legal community, people who are connected with our residential community. So we were looking for a diversity of connection points in the community, because we know that outreach ultimately involves that community input. And having that entree into the community, having people that represented these different viewpoints. We have former public defenders and state's attorneys and law enforcement. I mean, it's a diverse group of individuals.
You're and kind of maybe continuation of what Vincent said. You're a bit more of a progressive than I am. So can you understand
I think that's fair thought process? What I will say is that we've had zero discussions about critical race theory or implicit or unconscious bias as a part of this process. It's not even a conversation that we have.
We'll have more with the mayor of the city, Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, coming up on the Morning News Express.
930 WFMD traffic for Frederick and surrounding counties.
Starting to get a little busy out there this morning. We have an accident on 270 southbound about 2 miles after 85 Buckeystown Pike. Already starting to see some delays before the Monocacy River as you try to move up past that area and closer towards Urbana. Be prepared for that delay. And another accident on 340 very close to Mount Zion Road. There is a truck in the median at that location. 70 eastbound continues to move without incident from Frederick to Baltimore. That's your 930 WFMD traffic, a service of Frederick Air and Bryant. Whatever it takes to keep you comfortable, Frederick Air, it's a good call.
Good morning. From the MTA, face coverings are required for all rides on transit. Train 892 left Frederick on time. We'll be making a stop in Boyd's at 643, Germantown at 654. Train 894 is the next train out of Frederick at 710. Commuter buses on time. For the MTA Transit team, I'm Amy Friedman on WFMD.
The 930 WFMD Skyscan forecast for Frederick and surrounding counties. For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies. A chance of showers after 2 o'clock, the high 65. Mostly cloudy tonight, more showers, mainly between 8 and 2. The low down to 49 for Wednesday, mostly cloudy. The high 64 Wednesday night, mostly cloudy again, more showers after 2 a.m. The low 51 for Thursday, showers likely, the high around 65. The weather brought to you by Wettenbrook Services, electrical heating and cooling with a $59 flat service. I'm Dean Fettis.
Thank you, Dean. Right down 55, cloudy in Middletown, Thurmont, and Clarksburg. It's the Morning News Express. It's the mayor of the city, Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. Will have more conversation with him next.
The change of seasons comes fast.
That's true, Diana. So now's the time for HVAC maintenance and duct cleaning.
Plus, with financing specials and no interest until 2025 on ductless systems, it's the perfect time for even more.
No interest until 2025. That's 60 months.
One more reason to go to rave4daves.com.
I'm Dave. I guarantee great service from Dave's Cooling and Heating because I put my name on it.
Everybody raves for days.
One day, I'll knock out a triple toe loop and a flying camel to take the gold.
One day, I'll lead a squad to the finals and hoist the Stanley Cup in victory.
One day.
Yeah.
All right, I want everyone on the ice in 5 minutes.
At Skate Frederick, we turn dreamers into achievers. Come lace up and find out how exciting taking the ice can be in Learn to Skate classes beginning October 26th. Enroll now at skatefrederick.com.
Here's a question for you. Is that old heating system of yours going to make it through this next winter? If you had to think, then you need to call Griffith Energy Services. Get a new gas furnace as low as $49 a month or a new heat pump as low as $69 a month. Griffith is a Carrier expert, but services all makes and models. Turn to the experts at GriffithEnergyServices.com. That's GriffithEnergyServices.com. License number MD-HVACR-01-2278.
Griffith Energy Services. Doggone dependable.
This is WFMD's Bob Miller with a very important message. Christmas Cash for Kids returns to WFMD this year, just like every other year. But this year will be different. With the pandemic, the need will grow. Plus, some pretty big news. Stay tuned and start planning to help local kids enjoy this holiday season.
Christmas Cash for Kids from WFMD.
The Morning News Express with the Morning Mayor and the real mayor of the city of Frederick.
You said that like you don't believe it, Bob.
Don't. You have all the hard job. I mean, you have to go to those stupid meetings all the time and talk about sewer taps and, you know, and water pipes and things of that nature.
We haven't had a good sewer tap water pipe meeting in months.
Well, you should. You had a closed session. So give me some insights of the closed session. Is that about sewer taps?
Bob, it's a closed session.
Okay.
Closed for a reason. Here's what I'll say about that. I saw that was written down in your piece of paper. I mean, typically if we'll do a closed session, if it's personnel related, it could be about a discipline or removal. More often than not, it's about the ability to set a wage that's different than what the PMP allows a manager to set a wage at. Or it's about, pending legal issues. We want to talk legal strategy if we're thinking of taking some sort of legal action or we think someone might be taking legal action against us. Those are the most common kinds of things that we'll have closed sessions about.
I was recently, and I haven't been over that way lately, and that's the over there off of Butterfly Lane, and I saw there was a new road there that I did not know that was there. So what's going on with that Hargett property?
Sure. So Contender Way is the new road that travels through the Westside Regional Park property. It is going to serve the ultimate construction that occurs on that property, whether it's, ball fields or whatever. It's going to be the primary access point to the new Sophie and Madigan's playground, which if you drive by there, you can see that coming up. It's going to be a beautiful destination playground for children. And if people don't know the story of Sophie and Madigan Lillard, wrenching story, and the way the Lillards, Jack and Chrissy, have taken that tragedy and turned it into this positive thing for the community is really uplifting for us, and we're honored in Frederick that they wanted to partner with us to create this opportunity. So Butterfly Lane is being realigned. There's a new roundabout that's going in.
Are we making the roundabout big enough? I mean, I see that that's one of the – and I know that you're, the engineers and stuff. But if you travel some of these along Brunswick, down that area, some of them just don't seem like they're big enough to accommodate bigger vehicles, trailers, and things of that nature.
I'm sure all of them meet the engineering standards for turn radii and so forth.
Okay.
And ours will as well.
Okay. Other things, I mean, it was a big issue when Jeff Holtzinger – in the city of Frederick when he was the mayor and bought that property. I kind of align it or liken it to what Ron Young did with downtown Frederick and his vision with downtown Frederick and then the floodplain project, which has become Carroll Creek. Can we see in the future, and I mean, it'll probably be long after you're gone as mayor and I'm gone as the morning mayor, just because it will take, I mean, really, literally, Carroll Creek's not done yet. I mean, there's still projects that need to be done. How far out do you envision something like that? Because it's everything that's done is always expensive.
Right, and the hardest part with Westside Regional Park was when the land was acquired, there wasn't necessarily not necessarily there wasn't. There wasn't a clear plan on paper about what it was going to be. It was simply articulated, well, this is going to be a regional park. But park needs change over time. The community's needs change over time. Certainly when the park was envisioned, we didn't imagine a destination playground being one of the first things that would go in. We are, as a part of the work that was done with Contender Way and the realignment of Butterfly Lane, done some mass grading. So some fields will be seeded out there that may be available to play by next possibly spring or fall, depending on how well the grass takes. So there'll be some multipurpose fields that'll be available for the community then. We're in active conversations with the National Park Service now about having them occupy the farmstead that's on the property and do some rehabilitation of that, but also make that the new home of their preservation training center and create some community space that could be available as well. So, the bigger facilities, if there was ever a conversation about indoor track or an auditorium, something that I've, you know, been a big advocate for over the years, those are high dollar amount efforts, and we're going to have to figure out creative ways to bring those into fruition.
Well, we got time for one more question.
Fall fields are easy. That's grading and grass seed.
Yeah.
We want them to last, though.
People still eating downtown. How long do you look at that continue? I guess until the colder weather takes over, or
right? So the Board of Aldermen last week extended outside dining through October of 2021 with the parklet concept in place. The street closures will probably end in those two blocks after November 1st, but will create parklet opportunities for any of the restaurants that were in those two blocks that want them so that they can take advantage of some of the grants that the county's made available for heaters to give them the ability to create outside dining on nice days in downtown Frederick. And certainly over the last, you know, week, we've seen really unusually warm days for this time of year. And so I think what we want to create is an opportunity where in December or January, where you have that random day where it's 50 degrees or, you know, pleasant enough that people, if they want to keep a jacket on and you've got some outside heaters, that you can provide an opportunity for restaurants to continue to do what they do and make money and generate commerce in downtown Frederick.
Mayor of City of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, appreciate your time.
Bob, thank you.
Always a pleasure. It's the Morning News Express, 6:48.
Good morning, WFMD News. A large number of people lined up yesterday morning outside of four polling places in Frederick County for early voting. 267 people were waiting outside of TJ High before 7 a.m., 214 at the Urbana Library, 60 at Catoctin High, and 56 at the Middletown Volunteer Fire Department Activity Center.